We'll try to, during this argument, have an additional reference to the United Kingdom, but we'll have to wait and see. Our next case is United States v. McElhinney. Major Raleigh, are you prepared to argue on behalf of the appellant?
Yes, Your Honor.
And Major Peer, are you prepared to argue on behalf of the government?
Yes, Your Honor.
Please proceed.
Good morning, Chief Judge Olson, Senior Judge Stuckey, members of the court, and may it please the court. I'm Major Sean Raleigh, and along with my co-counsel, Major David Bosner, I represent the appellant, Airman Basic William McElhinney. Chief Judge Olson, with your permission, I'd like to reserve 4 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Grant.
Thank you, Your Honor. When the convening authority issued an inaccurate and inflammatory reprimand to Airman McElhinney, Airman McElhinney exercised his right to challenge the appropriateness and correctness of that reprimand. While he was precluded from raising this issue in a post-trial motion, more importantly, he was not required to. And that's because, consistent with Article 66 and this court's precedent, he was entitled to raise this issue for the first time on appeal under the de novo standard of review.
Counsel, what do you want us to do here?
Your Honor, Airman McElhinney requests that this court remand this case to the Air Force Court for a proper Article 66 review.
For a proper Article 66 review, having found that it didn't have one.
Precisely, Your Honor?
Yeah, well, what gets me about this case is what you really want us to do is look at this reprimand and say it's not good, it's factually wrong, and it's cast in terms of opprobrium that prejudice your client.
Yes, Your Honor. That it's factually insufficient and that it's inappropriate.
Okay. We don't do that.
Correct, Your Honor.
We don't do factual sufficiency. We don't do sentence appropriateness. That's exactly what you're asking us to do.
Respectfully, no, Your Honor. What we're asking the court to do is remand to the Air Force Court to do precisely that analysis.
Well, I assume remand with findings that they screwed it up.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, you're asking us to engage in an analysis that we don't do, that we really have always treated ourselves as not having the power to do. And here you are. I mean, I'm sorry if the reprimand cast him in terms of opprobrium, but I don't know what we're supposed to do about it.
Your Honor, if I may just clarify what appellant requests from this court. Airman McElhinney does not request that this court make any kind of factual sufficiency determination with respect to the reprimand or sentence appropriate determination.
But you want us to find error.
What we asked the court to find is that the Air Force Court misapplied the law because they applied the incorrect standard of review in determining the question of sentence appropriateness.
Right, that's the way it's cast. But in order to do that, we have to forage around in sentence appropriateness and factual sufficiency, don't we?
Respectfully, Your Honor, I disagree. All this court needs to do is take a look at what standard of review the Air Force Court applied vis-a-vis what standard of review this court has said service CCAs apply to this question. And this court has said in cases like United States versus Washington and United States versus Lee and others that the proper standard of review for Article 66 questions is de novo.
Counsel, on that point, the government makes a somewhat technical argument that you didn't really address in your reply brief. The government's position is that the CCA did apply a de novo standard review and that they said they were applying a de novo standard review, and that what you're complaining about is not that they didn't apply a de novo standard review. You're complaining that they didn't consider the wording of the reprimand when they applied that de novo standard review. In other words, they applied the correct standard review, they just got it wrong. And the government's position is the only question in the granted issue is, did they err in not applying the de novo standard of review, and they did apply the de novo standard of review. Your position just seems to be they did it wrong. Is that, how do you respond to the, if I'm correctly characterizing the government's argument, how do you respond to that?
Yes, Your Honor. So the appellant's position here is, with respect to what this court, we're asking this court to do, is not whether the application of standard of review yielded the wrong result. In other words, that the Air Force Court got the wrong result as to whether or not the reprimand was appropriate. Our position is that the Air Force Court did get that wrong. However, we don't ask this court to weigh in on that. Rather, what we ask this court to do is threefold. Determine that a reprimand is a sentence component just like any other for Article 66 review purposes. What does that mean? That means that for application of a standard review to a reprimand, both generally and as applied, the proper standard of review to that question is the de novo standard of review, that appellants cannot forfeit an Article 66 review. This court can either say that generally or can say that with respect to the reprimand here in this case, and that the Air Force Court erred in finding forfeiture of an Article 66 review.
I thought the distinction, though, that was being made is CCA was looking at whether de novo, whether a reprimand was appropriate. That's separate from whether the language in the reprimand is appropriate.
Yes, Your Honor. And our position is consistent with a case like United States versus Gwynn, for example, and I can draw out that analogy in a moment, where a CCA is taking a look at the entire record and is taking a look at the claim that has been made on appeal by an appellant. In this case, Airman McElhenney specifically challenged the appropriateness of the reprimand, not any other sentence component. But where those facts are before the service CCA, a complete Article 66 review entails not just determining whether the punishment, in this case the reprimand, is appropriate generally. And certainly it's hard to imagine a case where a reprimand would not be appropriate generally for an offense under the code. But also, are the words of the reprimand, which is the punitive censure itself, it is the punishment itself, are those words qualitatively also correct in law and fact and appropriate as
a sentence? What about if a fine were imposed? Would the CCA need to get into the weeds and determine how and when it's going to be paid is appropriate?
Only insofar as those facts are before them, Your Honor. So we're not asking the service.
So why doesn't that invade the province of the convening authority for the CCA to say, okay, the amount of the fine is appropriate, but now we're going to decide how and when that's going to be paid?
Well, Your Honor, because the quality and the execution, just as we heard in this morning's argument in United States versus Pullings, when we were talking about the quality of a punishment, and to the extent that those facts are before the service CCA, the service CCA, consistent with this court's decision in Gwynn, where they can apply Article 66 power to grant relief, in that case for post-trial confinement conditions, then in order to fully perform its Article 66 duties, it must at least consider fully the claim that's before it and the facts surrounding that claim, including the actual terms of, in this case, the reprimand. So comparing this case to a case like Wynn, where the service CCA was considering post-trial confinement conditions, that's a case where the court not only considered whether the quantity of confinement is appropriate or whether confinement at all was appropriate, but rather the quality of the confinement. It's only required to do so insofar as those facts are before it. In other words, the service CCA is under no obligation to go seek out more facts, sua sponte, about the conditions of an appellate's confinement, but where, as in a case like Pullings, you have those facts before you. Gwynn says that they must consider those in order to conduct a fully Article 66 complete review.
And Counsel, yes, you said something just a minute ago that touched on a question I have, sort of a fundamental question. You said, assuming the language of the reprimand is part of the sentence, you said something similar to that, I think. Well, what provision of the code or what rule makes the language of the reprimand part of the sentence? I understand logically it makes sense, but I couldn't find, and maybe you can help me, a specific provision that makes it part of the sentence.
Yes, Your Honor. So essentially we're talking about what constitutes the punishment itself. And I would argue that in the case of a reprimand, the wording of the reprimand doesn't exist separate and apart from the reprimand. In other words, those two things are the same. Where RCM 1003B says a reprimand is a punitive censure, that punitive censure is inchoate until the convening authority specifies that actual punitive censure. The words of the reprimand is what actually causes the prejudice to the person receiving it. Actually causes the harm, executes the punishment upon the appellant in this case.
And what do I do with Rule 1111, which it says about the entry of judgment, and it's talking about the contents of the judgment, and it says in Part B, and then it says Part 1, findings, Part 2, sentence, and then it says Part 3, additional information, and under Part 3, down in D, it says reprimand. If the sentence included a reprimand, the judgment shall contain the reprimand issued by the convening authority. And that's how the language of the reprimand, I think, gets into the entry of judgment. Doesn't that suggest that the language of the reprimand is not part of the sentence?
But I would argue, Your Honor, that the reprimand itself is inchoate until it's specified, because the rule says that a court-martial may adjudge the reprimand, but it does not specify. And the analogy here would be something like hard labor without confinement, where that's adjudged by a court-martial. The quality of that punishment is determined by that accused command. Similarly, confinement. The court-martial adjudges confinement, but the court says it shall not specify where that confinement shall be served. That's up to the command to decide. So those are all inchoate punishments until they're specified in the commander issuing his or her duties under the law to execute the punishment. And so there's no way of reading the Air Force Court's opinion in this case to find or to avoid the error that it committed. First, if you accept this court's precedent in the United States versus Chin, where it talked about how an appellant may not waive Article 66 review, it makes sense logically that a similar finding, that an appellant cannot forfeit that review either, would hold true under Chin, being forfeiture being a lesser relinquishment than waiver. But the Air Force Court sidesteps that and rather finds that this reprimand is simply an error in the action that needed to be corrected via a post-trial motion. But there are several things wrong with that. First, we must deconflate a reprimand from an action. They're not the same. A reprimand flows from RCM 1003B, whereas an action flows from a separate rule, 1109-1110. And the specific provision of RCM 1104 that the Air Force Court cited, which is RCM 1104B1F, I believe, where it talks about how an appellant can or an accused can correct an error in the action post-trial, it specifically says correct an error in the action post-trial under RCM 1109 and 1110, referring to the rule governing action, which makes no mention of reprimands, because a reprimand and action are distinct duties of a convening authority. And where a reprimand appears on an action memorandum, that may be out of regulatory convenience to the commander, but they are not the same. Rather, the reprimand is the inappropriate punishment rather than an action, an error in the action. Furthermore, RCM 1104 is a permissive rule. It does not impose any requirement on litigants to litigate in a post-trial motion, a question of sentence appropriateness or a question of legal and factual sufficiency. And tellingly, RCM 1104 does have a provision to allow a military judge to set aside findings for legal insufficiency. And yet neither this court nor any service CCA that I have found has found that an appellant has waived or forfeited a legal sufficiency challenge by virtue of not filing a motion under RCM 1104B1B. And so the question that was before the Air Force Court was whether the sentence received by Airman McElhenney was appropriate, whether it was correct factually and legally. To the extent that reprimand made factual assertions that were inaccurate, it was subject to a factual sufficiency analysis. To the extent that it made those inaccuracies and it made them in an inflammatory fashion, it rendered that reprimand inappropriate. And so the Air Force Court was required to examine the reprimand both as written and generally under the same standard of review, de novo, and was not permitted to find forfeiture of something that an appellant may not forfeit, which is a lower court's statutory mandate to conduct factual and legal sufficiency review and sentence appropriateness review. And so Aaron McElhenney has suffered prejudice because he has been denied thus far, and this goes to Senior Judge Suki's question earlier as to what we want this court to do. He has been denied thus far of a substantial right. That is the right to a full, complete, impartial article.
So from your approach, we just need to remand it saying apply the appropriate legal standard. We don't need to do anything else.
Your Honor, at a minimum, yes, we would ask this court respectfully to reaffirm those principles that I just laid out, that a reprimand is a sentence component for Article 66 purposes. De novo replies to the question of whether it is appropriate under Article 66, that an appellant may not forfeit, contrary to the Air Force Court's finding, an appellant may not forfeit Article 66 review, and that the Air Force Court erred in applying forfeiture and the plain error standard. This is very similar to what this court considered recently a few weeks ago in United States versus Thompson in San Diego, where it was observed during oral argument that, you know, it would be wonderful if the Air Force Court had said what the government purports that it said in its opinion. But even if this court is confused or finds that it's ambiguous what the Air Force Court did, our position is it's manifest error. But if this court finds that it's confusing, remand is still the appropriate solution here, as this court has done in United States versus Baer, United States versus Jenkins, and others.
I see your time has expired. Any questions from the bench? Seeing none, Major Peer.
Chief Judge Olson, Senior Judge Stuckey, members of the court, and may it please the court. I'm Major Jay Peer, and along with Major Brittany Spears, I represent the United States in this case. This court should decline to remand this case to the Air Force Court for two reasons. First, because the Air Force Court did more than what was required in reviewing the appropriateness of appellant's reprimand under Article 66. And second, because even if the Air Force Court applied the wrong standard of review in reviewing the wording of appellant's reprimand, remand is not necessary because this court can and should independently review appellant's reprimand. I want to begin by labeling portions of the Air Force Court's opinion in a way that might make my argument easier to understand. So we have part one of the Air Force Court's opinion, which is located on page 7 of the Joint Appendix. And in part one, the Air Force Court conducted a sentence appropriateness review using a de novo standard. And in part two, which spans pages 8 and 9 of the Joint Appendix.
You're drawing distinctions between part one and part two. Those labels don't exist in the opinion, right?
You're right, Your Honor.
And the opinion has lots of headings.
Yes, Your Honor.
Throughout. But this is all in one section.
Right? It is, Your Honor.
But why would we treat it as being two different analyses, which I assume you're going to tell them. So if they're doing a sentence appropriateness in what you call part one, what are they doing in part two?
Your Honor, I think it's clear from the opinion itself that the court is reviewing the wording that or the language of appellant's reprimand using a different standard of review.
Okay, but the CCA has limited authorities. They can do, and one of them is sentence appropriateness. They can do factual sufficiency, and they can do legal sufficiency. Which of those three things do you suggest the CCA is doing in what you call part two?
Your Honor, I believe it's a mix of factual and legal sufficiency.
Is that a thing? Right. Oh, it's in a sentence where they start off setting out the standard of review for sentence appropriateness. And you suggest that halfway through that section with no headings, no other textual indicator that they're doing something different, they're shifting into a mix of legal and factual sufficiency in the middle of their sentence appropriateness section?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, and what are the clues that they're doing that?
Your Honor, in what we call part two, the Air Force Court clearly shifts to a different standard of review.
Well, so, right, that's the problem. Right? That's exactly what appellant says the problem is. In the middle of their sentence appropriateness review, where they're supposed to be doing de novo review, they suddenly jump into plain error review. And that's exactly the problem.
Yes, Your Honor. And I do want to make it clear for this court that The United States acknowledges that in this particular case, under these specific facts, that appellant didn't have the opportunity to file a post-trial motion challenging his reprimand, and we laid that out in our brief. And therefore, it would have been more appropriate for the Air Force Court in this case to apply a de novo standard of review in what we call Part 2. But ultimately, the Air Force Court's use of an incorrect standard in Part 2 doesn't matter to the granted issue in this case, because in Part 1, the Air Force Court did conduct a de novo standard, a de novo review of appellant's reprimand. Just a year ago in Gwynn, this court...
Just to clarify that point, because that was exactly the point that I wanted to get clarification from appellant's counsel on. You're essentially saying that in what you call Part 1, the paragraphs on page 7, that they concluded their sentence appropriateness review and applied de novo standard review in doing that, and then they went off and did something else, and it's essentially appellant's contention that, well, they should have included that in their sentence appropriateness review, but your position is that may be true, it may not be true, but the only granted question is whether they applied a de novo standard to the sentence appropriateness review, and since they did, that's the end of the case.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Your Honor, in just a year ago in Gwynn, this court provided guidance to the courts of criminal appeals on how they should handle their Article 66 review. And this court said that sentence appropriateness review should not be considered unduly onerous. And so long as a court of criminal appeals acknowledges it is considered a sentence appropriateness claim, a single sentence disposition is sufficient. And here, the Air Force Court far exceeded this court's requirements set out in Gwynn. In Part 1 of its opinion, the Air Force Court devoted an entire page to the question of sentence appropriateness of the reprimand. And the Air Force Court explicitly laid out the de novo standard of review in the first line of Part 1, and the court cited appropriate case law, said it would give individualized consideration to the accused and his offenses, and ultimately concluded that the reprimand was appropriate. And while the Air Force Court never explicitly said in Part 1 that it reviewed the wording of appellant's reprimand for sentence appropriateness, it is reasonable for this court to conclude that the lower court did, in fact, review the wording of appellant's reprimand.
Isn't that exactly what it does in Part 2? Like, why would we assume in Part 1 that they were considering the wording of the reprimand if they just mentioned that there was a reprimand? And then there's the whole, what is the purpose of Part 2, if they had already considered the appropriateness of the reprimand? I'm very confused about what the government's theory is about what they're doing in what you call Part 2.
Your Honor, I can't read the minds of the Air Force Court judges, but I think what was going on here is that the appellant raised the issue before the lower court in a way that invited a two-part analysis of his issue. So in his brief before the lower court, appellant argued not only that the reprimand was, quote, unduly severe and inflammatory, which is a question of sentence appropriateness, but he also claimed that the reprimand was, quote, inaccurate and unsupported by the record, which the Air Force Court considered to be a separate question. In other words, the factual accuracy of the reprimand. So the Air Force Court treated these two separate claims as two separate issues and addressed them as such.
So I'll go back to the question. So there, you think they're doing factual and legal sufficiency review then in Part 2?
I think so, Your Honor.
Okay.
Doesn't that go to the heart of the matter? You're saying correctly, and I appreciate the concession that you can't read the minds of the CCA, and here you're saying correctly and appropriately, I think so. Why shouldn't we then send it back saying, we're not real sure what you did here?
Your Honor, I have three reasons why this court can be confident and can reasonably conclude that the Air Force Court did, in fact, review the entire reprimand, which would include the wording, in Part 1. First, the Air Force Court specifically said it was reviewing the reprimand. There was only one reprimand before the court, and that's the reprimand that was issued by the committee.
What other article would you use rather than the?
Your Honor, I think appellant would have a stronger argument if the Air Force Court said, we are reviewing whether a reprimand is appropriate in this case, a reprimand as a sentence in general. That's what appellant suggests, but that's not what the Air Force Court said. The court said we are reviewing the reprimand and whether it is inappropriately severe. And it's important to note that the appellant didn't challenge a general reprimand as a component of a sentence before the lower court. Again, the appellant challenged the wording of the reprimand before the lower court. So it's reasonable to conclude that in conducting its sentence appropriateness review, the Air Force Court would respond and respond directly to appellant's claim.
Is there any case law from this court where we clarify if there is an issue with the language of a reprimand? Well, first let me ask you a threshold question. Does the government agree that the language of the reprimand is part of the sentence?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is there any guidance or any case law from this court that says when the language of the reprimand is erroneous, that what category of review that falls under? Is that a factual sufficiency issue? Is it a legal sufficiency issue? Or is it a sentence appropriateness issue?
Your Honor, the only case that I could find where this court addressed the appropriateness of the language of a reprimand was United States versus Hawes, where this court recognized that a reprimand contained an impermissible reference to an offense that had been dismissed by the lower court. And the court didn't really state, you know, what standard it was reviewing the wording of the reprimand under, whether it was an abuse of discretion or de novo or some other standard. And I'll argue in a bit that the appropriate standard for this court to review reprimands would be an abuse of discretion standard. So
it's somewhat of an open question, at least in this court's precedent, what exactly the alleged error is when an appellant wants to argue that the language of the reprimand has a problem. Right?
Yes, Your Honor, I would agree that it's an open question, and this court, to the extent it finds it appropriate to do so, should resolve that issue.
And then, but why it seems like you're being very critical of the challenge that the appellant made to the language of the reprimand, that they didn't use the right magic words or to put or phrase their objection in the right way to put it into the right category of CCA authority. But we haven't even said what category of the CCA's authority that goes in, right?
Yes, Your Honor, I would agree with that. Your Honor, my second argument as to why this court can conclude the Air Force Court did, in fact, review the entire reprimand is it wouldn't make any sense for the Air Force Court in conducting its Article 66 review to review only the reprimand as a punishment in general while completely ignoring the wording of the reprimand. And I think appellant's counsel made an important point during his argument. He said, the wording of the reprimand doesn't exist separate and apart from the reprimand as a punishment in general. And that's precisely right. And I'd like to pose a hypothetical for the court. Let's say that appellant's reprimand included an additional sentence, one additional sentence that said, not only did you possess, view, and receive child pornography, but you are also a thief and a murderer. And in that case, there's no question that this additional sentence would not only be erroneous itself, but it would render the entire reprimand inappropriately severe. But according to appellant's interpretation of Part 1, the Air Force Court still would have found that this reprimand was appropriate, since in Part 1, the Air Force Court was simply reviewing whether an adjudged reprimand as a component of a sentence was appropriate. So this example demonstrates the absurdity of the notion that the Air Force Court would just review the appropriateness of a reprimand as a punishment in general while completely ignoring the actual wording of the reprimand, which constitutes what we agreed is the entire punishment of the reprimand. And stated differently, the question of whether a reprimand is appropriate and whether the wording of a reprimand is legally correct are inextricably linked. So the Air Force Court necessarily had to review the wording of the reprimand when it concluded that the reprimand was not inappropriately severe.
Now what do we do?
Your Honor, there is nothing for this court
to do. There's nothing for us to do.
No, Your Honor.
Is your position. Yeah. They did what they're supposed to do.
Exactly, Your Honor.
Right. And as I said to counsel, we're being asked to do something we don't do anyway.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
A few minutes ago, you were raising an abuse of discretion standard.
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you want to address that point, please?
Yes, Your Honor. The abuse of discretion standard is the appropriate standard for this court to review wording, to review allegations of error in the wording of a reprimand. And it's the proper standard because it recognizes the wide discretion that convening authorities are afforded in drafting the language of a reprimand.
So just so I'll be clear, you're talking about only this court. You're not talking about the CCA?
Your Honor, I believe the same standard that this court lays out can be applied or can be applied by the CCAs as well.
So what are you saying, though? Are you saying abuse of discretion now, or are you saying de novo review, or are you saying plain error?
Certainly, the CCAs have to conduct a de novo review of the sentence, which would, the government's position is, it would have to necessarily include the wording of the reprimand when they're conducting the Article 66 review.
So then what are you saying with the abuse of discretion standard here?
This court can review the reprimand. We're arguing that this court has no need to send the case back to the Air Force Court because this court can independently review the appropriateness of appellant's reprimand. I'm sorry, the wording of appellant's reprimand.
Doesn't that pull us into factual determinations, which we're not statutorily authorized to engage in? When we have to parse, for instance, this type of case with child pornography and the issue about the scope of the effect of the conduct of the accused, wouldn't that pull this court into factual determinations?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think the question of whether a convening authority abused her discretion, and this court has applied, is familiar with the abuse of discretion standard and applies it regularly. This court can review the reprimand in this case under that standard.
Counsel, doesn't it seem like the CCA got Part 2 and Part 1 in reverse order, or Part 1 and Part 2 in reverse order? Wouldn't it seem to make sense to first determine whether there was abuse of discretion in the wording and then afterwards decide whether the sentence was appropriate? I mean, it seems like they kind of did it in the opposite, which is before you figure out whether it's appropriate, because you could have the wording correct, but it could still be excessive if it was overly inflammatory, for example. Or you could have a situation where the wording was incorrect, but even correcting it, it still wouldn't be inappropriate. I mean, maybe you got the dates wrong or something, but nothing made the sentence inappropriate otherwise.
Your Honor, I wholeheartedly agree that that would be a more logical way to have addressed the reprimand. And in fact, the Air Force Court did just that in Wolcott, United States v. Wolcott, which is in the joint appendix at 11 to 22. There, the appellant was charged and convicted with very similar offenses to the appellant in this case. And he received a reprimand and he challenged the wording of the reprimand. And in that case, he raised before the Air Force Court that his reprimand was cruel and unusual punishment and that it violated Article 55. And the Air Force Court addressed the Article 55 and cruel and unusual punishment claims first and then concluded its Article 66 review in a one-paragraph disposition. It was extremely abbreviated and compared to what the Air Force Court did in this case, there's really no comparison. And I think if this court finds that the Air Force Court erred in Part 1, that it didn't do enough of an Article 66 review, that would only incentivize the CCAs to limit their sentence appropriateness reviews to one-sentence dispositions. I mean, if it's much harder to find error in a one-sentence disposition rather than an entire page, which the Air Force Court did here.
Counsel, with your abuse of discretion standard, is there any other part of the sentence for which anyone would get an abuse of discretion standard of review?
Nothing comes to mind.
Like, all other sentence appropriateness is done under de novo review at the CCAs.
Yes, Your Honor.
So if, and you agree that, that the wording of the reprimand is part of the sentence?
Yes, Your Honor.
So with the only way, are you arguing that those have to be completely separate analyses? The sentence appropriateness only applies to the existence of a reprimand or not. The challenge to the language of the reprimand would have to be done under legal sufficiency or factual sufficiency.
No, Your Honor. So
it is part of the sentence. It is done under sentence appropriateness, but it has a special carve-out that I don't think any other part of the sentence gets because of the deference to the convening authority.
Your Honor, our position is the CCAs have an obligation to conduct this Article 66 review of the entire reprimand, regardless of whether they challenge the wording of the reprimand. So the CCAs can conduct its Article 66 review of the entire reprimand, and to the extent an appellant challenges the wording of the reprimand, that is a separate issue which is not necessarily encompassed by sentence appropriateness, but can be evaluated under an abuse of discretion standard. But certainly there's significant overlap between whether a reprimand is appropriate and whether a reprimand was an abuse of discretion or not.
If we disagree with you and we think the language of the reprimand is inherently part of the sentence appropriateness review, then does that get de novo review?
It should, Your Honor. Your Honor, I see my time has expired.
Any further questions from the bench? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Edgar Raleigh.
Thank you, Chief Judge Olson. Judge Hardy, I want to begin with the question that you asked, a series of questions that you asked. It is not an open question about what standard of review should apply to a reprimand, either generally or as applied. The government agrees it is a component of the sentence. And under this court's precedent, the standard of review is de novo to all of those questions under Article 66. And so that's why this case is about more than just a reprimand. This case is about reaffirming the intent of Congress with respect to the duties of the service CCAs, an intent that they plainly expressed in Article 66, and which this court has interpreted. So turning now to the Part 1, Part 2 dichotomy that the government has separated the Air Force Court's opinion into, the bottom line is that Part 1 is insufficient and Part 2 is not superfluous. It's erroneous. And as Judge Hardy, as you observed, why else would the service CCA engage in Part 2 if they believed that their analysis was complete in Part 1? It doesn't make sense that they would have engaged in Part 2. And certainly courts are not typically in the business of writing advisory opinions or engaging in more analysis than what's required to resolve the issue before. And so why would they read Part 2? And this is where the government says, well, we can't read the minds of the judges as to why they did Part 2, but instead the government invites this court to do exactly that, try to read the tea leaves to see exactly why they went on this Part 2 misadventure, and they treat it as merely superfluous to Part 1. But it's not superfluous, and this court should not ignore what the Air Force Court plainly did in Part 2, which is that they reserve their entire analysis of the challenged reprimand to the plain error standard of review portion of their analysis. They may have mentioned the reprimand in Part 1, and in only mentioning it in passing, saying that he received the reprimand, but then they centered their sentence appropriateness review not on the reprimand, and certainly not on the language of the reprimand, but rather on the confinement term. They noted that he got 3 months of confinement, he could have gotten 16 under his deal, that's an appropriate sentence, we're not going to disturb it. And that concludes their de novo review.
Counsel, if we were to agree with you and reverse and remand this for a new review, what would you, just a brief summary, what would we instruct the CCA to do correctly this time?
Yes, Your Honor. You would instruct Your Honor that serve a CCA to treat a reprimand, both generally and as applied, as a sentence component, and for that reason, apply the de novo standard of review when assessing the reprimand through the Article 66 lens. It's a bit wordier than I would have liked, but in other words, to instruct the lower CCA that the de novo standard of review applies to the assessment of the appropriateness of a reprimand and the legal and factual sufficiency of a reprimand.
Now, in addition, you point out in your brief that the CCA's reasoning was not fully supported with citations about the expanding concept of trafficking and so forth. Would we say anything about that, or is that just beyond the scope of our review here?
Your Honor, I think that would be relevant if this court believed that this was a matter of legal sufficiency that it could resolve, and then determining whether or not that claim of Emron McElhenney being a human sex trafficker was a legally sufficient claim. I think that's where you would take a look at that sentence from the Air Force Court and note the complete lack of authority cited to support that proposition and factor that into your analysis. But with respect to the remedy we seek, which is consistent with this court's holding in cases like Lacey and others, where it says we cannot engage in sentence appropriateness review, but that fact is ancillary to the remand that we're seeking. I see my time has expired.
Any further questions? Seeing none, the case is now submitted. The court thanks counsel for both sides, and the court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 9:30.
Court is adjourned until 9:30 tomorrow morning.